Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, we thank all of you for tuning in for this segment of New Day. And we are not going to do a long program tonight because we are preparing for the event that is going to take place in Newark tomorrow. And so we want to kind of have a short edition tonight just to further prepare for tomorrow. You know, last week we were supposed to do our hop, skip, jump, walk, run-a-thon in Newark last week. Unfortunately, it got rained out, but it seems like it's going to be a pretty nice day tomorrow. In fact, they're talking about something like 72 degrees tomorrow, which is really, really wonderful. But at any rate, we're going to make the attempt again, and we feel pretty confident that it's going to work out this time. At any rate, we again want to thank you all for tuning in, and we'll probably just stay on until tonight, until maybe around 11 o'clock-ish. But we do have Sister Manera calling in shortly, who is one of the coordinators for the event for tomorrow. She is one of the key coordinators, as a matter of fact. In fact, she is the pro tem chairwoman for the Black Women's Defense League over in the Newark area. At any rate, before we begin tonight's program, of course, we want to give thanks and praises to our Creator. And certainly, we are always very cognitive of our freedom fighting ancestors. Again, you are in tune to New Day, Resurrection and Liberation.
Douglas, the
Party's Minister of Culture, Judy Douglas, the editor of the paper, the late Deputy Minister of Defense, Geronimo. I met at the office several times. And the late Field Marshal, Don G.C. Cox. Those beautiful brothers and sisters taught me how to be a revolutionary. And I dedicate this film to their memory. I can't be there to see it yet, but I hope to see it soon, freely. From what I'm told, it's a work of revolutionary love and beauty. So, Steve V. and Noel, thanks for bringing it into reality. Mill Valley Film Fest, thanks for screening it. On the move, all power to the people. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Momia Abu Jamal.
These comments were recorded by Noel Hatman of Prison Radio.
Yes, indeed. And of course, that was Momia Abu Jamal. He was talking about a documentary that is now being shown in a few selected locations, but the documentary is something that we're going to talk about perhaps next week. And let's see, one other thing we wanted to do, there's one other Lumia commentary that we want to share with you. Of course, again, that was one of his latest commentaries, and we have one more. Before we do that, we want to remind you that we are putting a call out for 25,000 sister soldiers, and that's what we're calling them, sister soldiers, from all over the U.S. And the reason is because we have, in fact, launched the National Task Force, or shall we say the National Campaign now, for the elimination of violence and abuse of women and girls of African descent. And, of course, next year we plan to declare it Year of the Black Girl. So for 25 sister soldiers, yes, we need that many and then some, because we have a lot of young daughters, a lot of young sisters who definitely need our support, need our nurturing, need our guidance. And so rather than to keep thinking that the Girl Scouts and this and that is going to help our young sisters, well, when are black women going to stand up and be the ones to nurture and help raise up our daughters? Well, the answer to that question is right now. And so 25,000 sister soldiers to do numerous things, not just to do what we call, you know, street campaigning or street activism, but also sister soldiers do many things, from communications to spoken word to writing articles, training, you name it. That's what we want our sister soldiers to be doing. So, again, we're going to be putting this call out every week until we get 25,000 sister soldiers, because we also need those sister soldiers to help us when we begin, and we actually already have, but you're going to see it more so now, when we begin to really bring forward the Men and Women March reunion, the Sweet 16 reunion. Of course, it's going to take place next year in October, and the official announcement will be made here in Philadelphia on October the 25th. So stay tuned, because we have a lot of information we're going to be sharing with you about that. I've been putting the committees together for a while now, and well, when you see and hear what we have in store and the kind of synergy and the kind of real tactical operations that we've put in place in order to assure that we have not only a successful event, but in fact to make certain that our movement is able to really move, is able to really accomplish what we said we would do. And, of course, that includes the building of a school for girls, and so many other things. So it's certainly more than a march, and we say we are moving from march to movement, and our reunion gathering is not to be really considered a march per se. We are coming together. We are reuniting. We are reconnecting. We are recommitting. And so anytime we are able to rejoin, reunion, come together again, that's what we're talking about doing for sisters who met in 1997 and who still have developed and built relationships, and for sisters who that was their spirit was touched by what they saw and felt on October the 25th. Well, we're going to do it again and then some. But this time, truly have established a sisterhood that is going to really move things forward in the way that it needs to be, in a way where sisters will not be suppressed, oppressed, nor depressed, because we're talking about real Pan-African women coming forward. And so we're going to be telling you a lot more about that in this incoming week, because, again, we're getting ready for the 25th of October, which, of course, will be our 15th year anniversary celebration. And as we get closer to that, I'm going to tell you some of the sisters in particular who are being invited to attend and participate in the upcoming reunion. We have a very exciting program that we've put together, and with that, a national convention as well. Just want to tell you lastly, before we go to our live line, that while, of course, the Men and Women March and its movement have remained in Philadelphia as far as the national headquarters, needless to say, we will stay in Philadelphia as far as the national headquarters. But the reunion may not be in Philadelphia, because we really feel very strongly that the so-called powers that be in this city have done little to support or to, not to, you know, we really wanted them or expected them to, but they did have an obligation and responsibility to the people of the city to do what was right, period. And after bringing that kind of energy into this city, they certainly should have made certain that an institution that was being built in this city should be put in its proper position, or at least viewed in the way that was necessary. And so we're going to make sure that happens nevertheless. But the bottom line is we have looked at a few other cities to hold our reunion, and we plan to go into negotiations with those cities very soon. And we'll be able to tell you more about that as well. Okay, let's see. We've got one more thing for you before we head on to our live line. We said we wanted to share one more of Mumia Abu-Jamal's commentary. We did one, of course, that talked about it was called the 25th Mill Valley Film Festival. This is where the documentary is being shown, and again, we're going to tell you more about that documentary on the next show. But we wanted to just share one more commentary from Mumia Abu-Jamal, and you know, we're very honored to be able to continue to bring our brother's words to you, so that you can hear, you know, his power and his voice is still just so clear and just still so poignant. And you know, again, we feel very blessed to be able to bring
there's
you
no
those words.
Me, but you only speak, mes amis, mon frère et monsieur, à la chance et bon métier. Merci. Votre soutien pour moi est magnifique. Ma famille est très joyeuse avec votre travail et Bobigny. Nous avons, voyons, l'exemple de Bobigny. Il y a l'exemple de solidarité avec votre lutte contre la peine de mort, l'incarcération des masses et l'isolement des manières d'Amérique. Mes amis, l'agence française, la fille et fils, la révolution française sont très vivants et mauvais. Merci pour tout. Merci, Madame la maire, Catherine Page, dans la nation et conseille, l'État Sunni, c'est Mumia Abu-Jamal. Merci à vous.
So we had the backup for the English translation, but unfortunately we're not able to access that. But what that was Mumia giving commentary. It was more of giving a thank you to the French government. Of course, there was a naming of a street for Mumia in France. And something happened recently in regards to that. It did happen, and it's definitely clear as day, the signs and so forth. but I think they just had some event there. But nevertheless, that was Mumia giving thanks, or, you know, thanking the mayor of that particular city for the naming of a street in his honor. There is now in France, Mumia Abu-Jamal Street or Boulevard, I'm not sure which is called, but I was in France a few months ago. Unfortunately, I did not get a chance to go and visit the street, but certainly in my next trip in December, I will see if I can do that. Okay, moving right along. Again, we are not going to have a very long program tonight because I have quite a few things I need to do in preparation for this week, and so I'm just going to do somewhat of an abridged version for you tonight. But what we're going to do is go to our live line, because one of the things I have to prepare for this week is happening tomorrow, as a matter of fact. And you may have heard us talk about this on one of our previous shows, and that is the one of the kickoff programs for the national campaign to fight violence and abuse of our women and girls. Well, we really have begun some of the work, some of the hands-on, direct action. I mean, we are now in full force getting ready to make certain that the awareness is there, the prevention apparatuses are coming forward, and certainly, again, to make it clear that we are not going to be silent, we are not going to be halfway with dealing with this issue anymore. And so tomorrow in Newark, there is going to be a program that we are presenting. It's one of many we're doing. This one here in Newark tomorrow, and then I think on November the 3rd, there's one coming up in Philly, and we're going to keep doing monthly activities, be it forums, be it teach-ins, be it testimonials, be it training, but we're going to continue on a regular basis now to address this issue of violations of our women and girls. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to our live line, and we're going to talk a little bit with Sister Manira, who, of course, is the head coordinator for the event that is taking place tomorrow. And, of course, if you are in the Newark area, we certainly hope that you will come out and support. There are several activities that's going to take place. If you are an adult, we hope that you will register. If you are a child or an elder, there is no registration fee. But what we're going to do is go to our live line, and we're going to have Sister Manira give us a little bit of insight about what's going to be happening for tomorrow, and, you know, how you can get involved, how you should get involved, and why you should get involved, especially if you're in the Newark area. Okay, so let's go to our live line, and we're going to talk with Sister Manira Bomani, who, again, is the chief coordinator for the event tomorrow, and we call it the Jump, Hop, Skip, Bike, Walk, Run-a-thon. Sister Manira, are you on this line?
Peace, family. Greetings.
All right, all right.
My President, General Empress Chi, who I salute.
All right. Greetings to you, sis.
So yeah,
are you ready for tomorrow?
I've been ready. I was ready the day it rained, and was out there holding the line. You know, we had about six people who came through before the rain came down on last Sunday. But, yeah, I'm definitely ready.
All right, wonderful. And, well, we're going to do this tomorrow,
rain or shine. Right on, rain or shine, because was interested, you know, I guess, you know, having to actually, you know, have the event on a rain date. Of course, you know, when you always thinking about, you know, plan B and C, which we should always, you know, have stuff in place. You know, the first thing that came to my mind is that the next week that we have it, we won't end up, even if it's rain or whatever the case may be, cold or whatever, we're going to have an alternative, which we have the doors open for us. And I thank the Integrity House with the help of Councilman of the Central Ward here, Councilman Sharif, who used his political power to actually you know, give us a date. I mean, a time schedule right after the event.
Right.
So whether it was rain or shine, we was gonna hold it down regardless. You know.
That's right. That's right.
And your sister was out there.
Who was out there
in the rain or shine anyway?
All right. And from what I'm looking at the reports from the weather, it looks like they're talking about something like 70 degrees tomorrow.
Yeah, boy. Matter of fact, it's like freezing today. It's like in the 40s, and
right.
We'll be blessed tomorrow with a beautiful day. It's going to be 70 degrees, you know, God is will, you know.
That's a great thing. That's right. Wonderful.
A great thing.
Wonderful. All right. Well, I'm certainly looking for it. So we're going to really, I think, have a wonderful event. And, you know, again, it's just the first of many to come. So now let's see. Tomorrow, give folks some information. Those who might not have heard previous shows or don't know for whatever reason, let them know again, location, time.
Well, the location is at Lincoln Park, which is a very well-known park that, you know, they have most of, you know, rallies and stuff like that. So, but, you know, Lincoln Park off of Broad Street, and the after the Run, Hop, Skip, Jump Bike-a-thon, we're going to be moving into the Integrity House, which is right across the street. 1091-93 Broad Street, and we have parking available for those who are coming, because Broad Street, you know, you have parking there, but spaces are limited, so they even extended their parking lot for us, you know, so that's a great thing, you know. I'm honored to,
all right,
you know,
yeah,
actually have them set that up for us. So. And it's a halfway
wonderful
house, you know, and it's basically what's so, you know, good about it is that, you know, we actually going to be with the population that we really set out to serve, you know,
mm-hmm.
to uplift,
mm-hmm.
you know.
That's right.
And
do our
service to, you know, to uplift individuals, you know, who, you know, I know that actually faced some of the situations that, you know, I've been through in prison, you know, and going through the struggles. So, I mean, it's just a great thing to just have them, you know, also to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. See, this is, again, what is so very important, that a lot of times, from what I've seen, we would hear about different events, and of course, I've even attended some. And it's always wonderful when our people come out to get involved and support. But a lot of times what I see is that there is no direct connection to, you know, women who really are going through this now. You know, certainly there are oftentimes women who have experienced it or, you know, want to support. But the women who are actually, you know, living through this right now, you know, what is being done for them. So, you know, again, it is a real blessing to be able to now connect directly with them, to sit down with them, to talk with them, to hear their stories, to, again, begin to document. And this is one of the things that our campaign does or is doing, and this is why we are, in fact, different from most of what's out there, and that is the fact that we're going to take the time, state by state, to document the number of rapes, the number of murders, the number of molestation, and not just the reported ones, but, you know, as we, again, go into our communities and hear these stories, document these stories, so that we can really get a better idea as to what's really going on. Not that we don't know, but we know that sometimes, you know, groups of our people or individuals or whatever, they like to see or hear some of the statistics or like to know that you have, in fact, or we have, in fact, done our homework. Well, we most certainly have. We'll continue to do so, and we'll do so even more in the future. So, again, it's a blessing, a real blessing to, you know, to be able to go to that facility and be able to sit down with the women.
And one of the things that I stress, because, like, you know, most of these organizations are, to me, just organizations. But one thing that's good about, you know, the MWM Black Women Defense League is that, you know, you have put something in place that's actually about community accountability. It's not really police and policies. You know, we take an accountability for our own and responsibility
right.
for our own actions. We coming up with our own community-based initiative to help stop the hurt, to start the healing without, you know, coming up with, you know, policing and policies and stuff like that that would even, you know, place people, you know, into the system, you know. And that's what's so good about it is, like, you know, we holding people responsible. We calling mm-hmm. each sister to stand up and be accountable and responsible for their actions and how we treat and talk to one another, you know, because you can have all of the policies or whatever and penalties, but, you know, that's not going to really cure the situation.
That's right.
You know, it got to begin with us. It got to start with the person in the mirror, the man and the woman in the mirror. And we got to take responsibilities. We got to hold people accountable. We got to have a team of men and women, like we call it, 25,000 women, to stand up and you know, take your rightful place. You know, we
Absolutely.
Call them our brothers in support, you know, to come, you know, help and, you know, have a symposium to talk about how we can start healing one another, you know, and take accountability. If you see something, do something. That's my slogan right now. If you see something,
mm-hmm.
do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got this thing.
Yeah.
If you see a person, you know, committing a crime,
call 411
and all this stuff. No, if you see a brother brutalizing or doing whatever to a sister, do something. You take the initiative to do something yourself. You stop that. I witnessed a brother from the nation who, you know, he did a citizen arrest himself.
All right.
You understand? But one thing about
mm-hmm.
it, when he did that, it just so happened that, you know, the nature of the crime, the police had to get involved. But he grabbed
right.
that joke up himself.
Right.
And
right.
he vowed to actually do that from this point on in this community,
mm-hmm.
which we need to have brothers actually, you know, not sitting around watching another man or a sister going at each other. You know, step in and do something about it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm so glad you're saying this, my sister, because I've heard in conversations, both men and women, or should I say male and female, I've heard them say, well, you know, I don't want to get involved because that's their personal business. They could be husband and wife or whatever, and nobody has the right to get involved if, you know, two grown people are having a dispute and it gets physical. You know, I've heard them say they don't feel like they had a right to get involved or that they should get involved. And so, you know, what we've come up with are some other, I won't say solutions, but certainly some other actions that can, in fact, occur. And so we're going to talk more about that tomorrow as well. But just to share a little bit of that tonight, you know, a lot of times in your neighborhood, you know who the beater is. So one of the things that we're looking at doing as we proceed is to begin to have in our own communities our own security, you see.
Absolutely.
And so just as Sister Manier is talking about citizens' arrest, well, at some point, you know, we want to have some form of operations that will allow us to have other types of approaches in dealing with situations. And I can't elaborate on that right now because it's not time to disclose that, but I'm just saying to give people a general idea of how we're really very serious in making certain that we begin to address our own problems. This is certainly one area to start with. It's a touchy area. It's no question about it. But, this, you know, just as we know beatings are occurring, we also know that molestation is occurring in our community. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. You know, so we have to really kind of see now how important it is to do something, to get involved. And again, we're not suggesting that people should run to the police. That's not what we're suggesting at all. We have to figure out how we're going to deal with these situations ourselves, and we're going to do that. And that's what I, when we say symposiums and forums and all that, it's not the same old rap and clap stuff. It's not the same old, you know, this is what we should do, or this is what the problem is. No, no, that's not what we're talking about. Nobody has time for that anymore. We have to now look at what are we going to do, when are we going to do it, how is it going to get done, and so forth and so on. It's just like that. So, you know, when you hear Black Women's Defense League family, you really need to know that this is not, you know, some game. This is not some corporate or some grant look-seeking kind of thing, and it certainly isn't one for any political motivation other than for our people to be free. So,
absolutely.
You know,
Ted, I remember a time here in Newark, like, you couldn't even do the type of stuff that you do to women at, like you can do today, back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could go to, and we had Minister Kadir, who was running Temple 25,
mm-hmm.
who had the city, you know, had, you know, a great influence over the brothers, you know, and the sisters had, they had their little strength with the sisters. But I mean, at mm-hmm. one time, you could not even disrespect. You can't have a sister couldn't even come to the mosque. And either a brother could not even see a female being disrespected back in the days. And, I mean, it's gotten out of hand. You know, we have so many sisters getting murdered, you know, being with, you know, accessory to their male friends, you know, just recently shot in the head. How can you shoot a woman in the head because of something her man did?
Right.
That's a coward. You know, we got a sister right now, we're getting ready to bury on Monday, that I know personally, shot in the head because her man robbed a drug dealer.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So to retaliate, you know, I guess to get back at him, you are murdered a sister? You a coward, even though that's the nature of the game. You understand? But,
right.
You know, we got our sisters that's so, you know, involved with these guys, you know, in this type of thuggish lifestyle or whatever. And don't get me wrong, I'm not against that. But if you're a thuggish man or OG or whatever you want to call him, drug dealer, kingpin or whatever you want to call him, can't protect you and your family, if you have children by that person, you're in the wrong relationship.
Well, you know,
this is sad. You know, this sister, you know, shot in the head. Like that's execution.
Mm-hmm.
That's execution style. When you shoot somebody in the head, especially a female, you know they don't have no respect for women. They don't value women, and we better do something about it now. And if we don't do it, who will?
Right.
If we don't stand up and do something and say something, you know, and get brothers in support, you know, to be there to protect us, we better be seriously thinking about protecting ourselves by all means, because it's getting out here.
It has to work hand in hand because, you know, the sisters, we must begin to do what we must do, and I mean all across the board. In protecting ourselves and our communities, our families, it's all a joint effort in reality because it's really a war on all of us. So now we have to take care of this situation in every way possible. But, you know, again, it's important that our brothers are in support of what we're doing. And it's a blessing that we are hearing more from Black men, from brothers, who are taking the position that this thing has to be dealt with. And as you just indicated, sister, we're going to do this regardless. There's no question about that. But again, it's very wonderful that we now are starting to see more men stand up. Certainly not nearly enough, but you know, it is a start. And either way it goes, we are still going to do what it is we have to do. Our young sisters, our young daughters, they need us, and we've got to show the motherly love, the sisterly love. They've got to now see it. They can't just hear about it, read about it. They've got to see it. They've got to know what it is to be a black woman, and we've got to help them to learn that. And that's our responsibility. So along with that is helping to protect them as well. So these are some of the things, again, that we are now bringing forward and putting into motion and are not going to let anything or anyone stop us. So it's on, as they say.
You know, you're absolutely right, because we're going to definitely move forward whether we have one person standing there. Because like I said,
that's right.
I felt good about actually just doing what I had to do on Sunday. You know, folks,
right.
You know, said they was going to come out who was supposed to be assisting me, you know, and they got their little personal things that's going on in their life. But I was like, you know, I felt so good that I was like, the rain, you know, I sat in the car. I was like, I'm good. I went and started networking with the Integrity House, you know, the sisters there, talking to the brothers. They was very supportive. They was like on. They was like, we on board, you know. So they want to know more about what's going on. So I was like, you know, at least, you know, being out there and the rain coming down, it didn't really stop. As a matter of fact, it was just probably the perfect time to connect with who I needed to connect with. Because,
right.
You know, I made a connection, a positive connection there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and they want to have us, you know, every week to come to do, the doors is open for us every week to come, you know, to, you know, do our speakers bureau, you know,
mm-hmm.
to discuss, you know, and one of the things that I definitely firsthand need to talk to with some of the women is about the violence that we face in prison, you know,
right.
and I got firsthand with that, you know, of the torture that I had to go through standing up, you know, for my human rights, you know, and dignity and respect within the wall. So, you know, and then, you know, and I never went to the halfway house, but I know from, you know, from hearsay, from testimonies from women of what they face. I mean, they being, you know, molested, you know, you know, the supervisors, you know, coming on to them, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they use that as a form of, you know, giving them what they want. And if you don't feed into that, you know,
right.
you're blackballed or whatever. So I know what's going on in there, even in prison.
Right.
I've witnessed, got testimonies for women who was raped. You know, I stood on the front line in Trenton when they had 40 women. We ACLU, we did a petition to get those women out of here, and now it's a law that no women under no circumstances would go to a male prison. So, you know, I've been doing this since I've been home, and I'm committed to doing this, you know, and even before going to prison, you know, experiencing
right.
bully in my home. I come from a family of all brothers, you know, bullying
mm-hmm.
me, and I had to stand up, you know, facing, you know, to stand up against them. You understand? So
mm-hmm.
I could firsthand talk about in my home, in the workplace, and of course, you know, female in the male dominant, you know, industry, you know,
mm-hmm.
The men feel that, you know, you're taking their job, you know, which they don't have a job themselves. That's why they're working for somebody else. You understand? But they, you know, I mean, I faced that in the workplace, in the home, you know, in
mm-hmm.
the prisons, you know, even in the organizations, even in the community. When you stand up for this, you're going to be, you know, you better best to believe if you ain't a strong sister soldier, you might as well just go ahead and back yourself, make a U-turn, okay? Because guess what? If you ain't going to stand, you know, just go on in your little cubby hole and get on out the way. Because either you're going our way or you're in the way. The bottom line.
Unfortunately, that is exactly what's going on. I mean, sisters have really lost hope in some regards, because there's nowhere to really turn. I mean, for the most part, the only way, place they can turn and get help is either back into the system, the police, or usually some organization that's run primarily by white women. And so they haven't really had any real choices. They haven't really had any, or shall I say, access to something that was going to really help them. And so, you know, in many regards, many of them have just given up. And we have
a lot
of work ahead of us to help them to snap out of that. Because once you've beaten down so much, you know, some are able to still rise up and, you know, have strength. But unfortunately, everyone is not like that. And we have to be very cognizant and very careful of that reality, that, you know, some do get beaten down a little easier, a little quicker, and cannot get back up for whatever reason. So this is why, again, it's so important that as women, we now let it be seen that, you know, as the saying goes, you know, about being your brother's keeper or your sister's keeper. And, you know, our motto is we're our sister's sister. See, we ain't trying to keep nobody. We want to be our sister's sister.
And then another thing I want to touch on, you even got women right now today that, you know, is going through, you know, gender violations, you know,
mm-hmm.
being abused emotionally, economically, you know, by their, you know, their male mates, you know, and you sitting
right.
back, you know, you want somebody else to do what you need to be doing to speak out and stand up for, you know, for your own good. You know, and
mm-hmm.
you want somebody else to sit there and get on the front line, you know, and do the job that you need to be doing, because you're the one that's going through this physical brutality, you know, emotional, you know, economic, you know, abuse. And you just going to mm-hmm. just like, you know, sit there and watch and let other people do what you need to be doing. So women need to stand up. And then not only that, we got women right now that's even victimizing us. We got women speaking about, you know, sisters need to, you know, don't do this, don't do that, do,
uh-huh.
do, you know. And
yeah.
I'm like, wow. I had a sister that came on the phone, and she told me when she made a call about being abused by her boyfriend or husband or whatever,
mm-hmm.
the lady that she called in was the operator. The lady, the sister laughed. She laughed, like, at her situation.
Mm-hmm.
You got females
yeah.
laughing at other women being abused. If you ain't a sick-minded person, I don't know what you are.
Yeah, we've become so desensitized to the situation. And, you know, it's now such a stigma. It's become a real stigma for a sister to be strong. You know, it always has to be viewed as, oh, you trying to be like this or you trying to be like that. No, I'm trying to not have you to violate me. How about that one? You know, so it's really almost like a double-edged sword. You know, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. But we've got to now break through all of that, create a whole nother type of modality, and definitely let it be known that the time has come. I mean, just like so many other things have changed. I mean, look at the advancements in technology. Look at the advancement in many other areas of things. Well, there's got to be advancement when it comes to the development of us as a people. And so, you know, those who know and understand, you definitely are not going to rise any higher than our women. So for those who think that's not true, look at what's happening. Now, of course, we have some who think, oh, well, part of this big problem is because women. I've heard, I mean, it's just so ridiculous. I've heard brothers
yeah.
saying that. You know, some of the
yeah.
reasons why some of this is like that is because a woman don't know her place, or she's doing this and doing that or whatever.
Yeah, victimize.
And
find
like,
any kind of scapegoat to victimize the female. You know, because
you know,
she got to be dressing like this. She looking like that. She being too aggressive. She this. I mean, there's so many things. Like,
I ain't beat with that. You know,
right. And as this enemy has his foot on folks' necks before now. I mean, this has been a, 400-year thing going on with how these people have attempted, not just attempted, how they have, in fact, you know, done
use women as a sex object.
Yeah, it's just a situation where, you know, you have to blame somebody, and therefore might as well blame, you know, the what's considered the weakest of a people, you know. So that's the trend, and that's what it's been. So we don't expect anything different, but we will make a difference, and that's pretty much what's important at this point in time. We already know what some of the problems are. It's now about bringing forward the solutions, and that's exactly what we're planning on doing. So, sis, tomorrow I shall see you, and hopefully those who are interested will be coming out, and we will just continue to build and bring this thing forward.
Right on, right on.
Now, lastly, before we close out, it was something else that I wanted to mention. And again, you know, we can't stress enough that while our major focus is, of course, on our women and girls, we certainly, again, invite our brothers to join us. We are family, and we strive to do things as a family. And so our brothers are certainly welcome to come out, support, get involved. And very shortly you will be hearing more about our brothers to brother forums that's coming up, and also our brothers in support, which, by the way, oh, that's what I wanted to mention. For those brothers who are interested in being a part of our security team, because as we indicated earlier, we will make the official announcement for the Men and Women March reunion that will take place for next year. Well, we're putting the security teams together now, along with the communications team. So for those who will be interested, who are interested in perhaps being a part of some of the coordinating teams for next year, now is the time to begin to get involved, because some of this will, well, there's some training that will have to happen. I can only say it like that, for both areas, security and communications. So, again, if you're interested, please feel free to drop us a email at nationalmwm@aol.com. And lastly, we are kicking off our pledging campaigns. We have one that we want to share with you tonight. One of them is called I Was There, and how that is going to work, because we have to begin to raise funds for some of the work that we are looking at doing in the next year, because as you probably know by now, if you've been listening to this show for any period of time, you know we don't do the corporate game. We do not go out to get corporate sponsoring or the grants and all of that. So it's very important that we get the support from our people. So, again, we now have a campaign. I spoke with one of our communications persons earlier. We hopefully will have this up for you next week. This one is I Was There, meaning if you attended the Million Women March in 1997, we want you to place an ad in our upcoming journal, and it will be on the I Was There page. And again, your name, $10. That will allow us to continue to do the work that we're doing. So this is a month-long campaign now. We hope to reach a certain goal by the end of the month, because we'd like to put this publication out. But if we haven't reached our goal by the end of the month, then we will put our publication out in March instead of October. So we just wanted to convey that to all of you. 2.5 million people attended in 1997. Certainly we can get, 1,000 folks to put their name on the page. Okay? So that's what we're talking about. So, all right, my sister, your closing comments for tonight?
Well, I just want to say, if anybody understands even about nation building,
mm-hmm.
you should understand exactly what MWM, Black Women Defense League, this is about nation building. If you expect any other nationality, the government or whoever, so on and so forth,
to do for what you do for you, what you need to be doing for yourself, you got a serious problem.
That's
so right. I mean, if you serious about, like I said, nation building, self reliance, self determination, instead of just using these things as slogans, you know, yo, I mean, if that's all you're about, then this is not the place for you.
So no,
if you're serious about, you know, building a nation, then you should think real strong. You know, give it some serious thought about understanding, at least getting some kind of clarity and knowledge about what MWM is doing. This take the initiative on your own to seek the information on your own. Mm-hmm. Empress is readily accessible to us. You know, we got other religious, political leaders. You know, we got to go through the hoopla to even get a sit down with them. The most accessible person, you know, that I've known of that's doing the work, that you can contact her. You know, you can't contact these other leaders because you got to go through this person, go through that person, go through this, go through that. Come on, please. And not only that, you know, she's actually teaching individuals how to become their own leaders, developing leadership. So you can take whatever she enlightened you with, you know, to go out there and broaden your scope. So, I mean, like, you know, we need to get serious. Like, you know, if we're going to follow the blind man or the blind woman, continue following the blind person. You know, if you're looking for a handout, if you're looking for to be a beggar, go ahead. This is not the place for you. Bow out. But if you're serious about doing the work, you know, and building a nation, this is the place for you.
Indeed, sister. Well, you are definitely on point, and we are definitely going to move forward. Just one last thing I want to share with our family tonight, and that is, you know, again, to show you how MWM is really not only about being different, but making a difference, and therefore we have to do things sometimes that's a bit unconventional. So tomorrow, one of the things that you will see us do as a part of our program, that is that we're going to have available what is known as SAGE, S-A-G-E. And the reason why we're going to start implementing some things that, you know, people have taught and learned and have been able to comprehend, you know, it's one thing to have a rally, it's one thing to have an activity, but we've now got to begin to incorporate some of the more holistic healing things that we have been able to learn about. So tomorrow at our event and at future events, we're going to start utilizing and sharing things that have been given to us to utilize, to help us to move forward and also to heal. So for those who know about sage burning, well, it's a cleansing that occurs when you burn sage. It's a cleansing for the spirit as well as for the venue that you're around, and also to help open the path when you're attempting to travel and to do something that is of some importance. And so tomorrow you will also, again, not only be able to get involved in something that is extremely proactive, but also you can bear witness to the fact that we're going to utilize some of the things that we have been taught now and have had access to. Of course, many associate sage smudge burning with the so-called indigenous peoples of this land, but rest assured, you know, some of those so-called indigenous people were also black folks. So if you are familiar with some of these traditions, well, then you understand what I'm saying. And if you're not familiar with the traditions, well, you're going to start learning more about them, because we're going to start representing all across the board all of the different things that are there for us or have been shown for us throughout the diaspora. We're going to start bringing some of those things forward.
So it's on.
So if you all are ready for your abilities, whatever qualities, your capabilities to be cultivated, you know, join a dynamic sister team.
That's right.
And Empress Chi is a general herself. she a force herself, a one woman team that's putting forth, you know, all of these different components. Like, come on, you got a one woman army. So imagine if it was, you know, if she helped develop, you know, 25,000. What we calling for?
That's right.
Wow.
25,000. And I will tell
imagine
everyone how I came up with that
25,000.
Number.
25,000.
Woo! What you say? And next week I'll tell folks how I came up with that particular number, because it's very important and it's very significant. And so, you know, we do that. Oh, you know what that's going to do for real.
And we get 25,000 empresses. Wow.
Going to happen. Rest assured, it's going to happen. All right, family, we've come to the last few minutes of this segment. We want to thank all of you for tuning in. We will be back next week again. And certainly, again, if you're in the Newark area, please join us tomorrow. Registration begins at 9. Actual activities will begin at 10. And, again, this is just first of several. So if for whatever reason you can't be there tomorrow, that's all right. We're going to be doing something else real soon. All right, my sister, we'll see you tomorrow.
So come on out,
by the way,
and stand up and hop, skip, and jump, you know, and do whatever activity you would like to do to stand up for our sisters. Come on out.
And like we said, bring the children. That's why part of it is a hop, skip, and jump, because we want the children involved too. And for those who want to do something a little more rigorous, we got something for you as well. Sister Maneer, one more time, give the telephone number.
973-818-4460. If you want to reach me, the event is going to be held at Lincoln Park on Broad Street in Lincoln Park. Everybody is all too familiar with Broad Street and Lincoln Park in the city of Newark. And all you have to do is this, if you're not, you know, from Newark, put in Lincoln Park, 45 Lincoln Park, and you will have the direct address. So, okay. And the other event will be at 1091-93 Broad Street, and it's after the Run, Hop, Skip, Jump Bike-a-thon. So if you even want to come out to that, that starts after the event. So that's 5:30. We're going to have a dynamic panel, you know, with some powerful people that's going to be standing up, you know, for our sisters, and also prepared to move forward to make sure we try to eliminate all violations against women of African descent. So if you can't make that event from 10 to 5, come on out to the Integrity House, 1091-93 Broad Street, where there'll be parking available. Hope to see you there.
All right, sis. All right, family, until next time, we leave you with the spirit of Ma'at-Hotep, and remember, there can be no real peace until there's justice, power,
right,
prosperity, and peace. Tutanana.
Salute. Peace.